You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Take your Bibles, Mark chapter number 8 tonight. Mark chapter number 8 in your Bibles. And it is a privilege to preach tonight. And I feel so bad for you, the people that get to hear. I hope it's going to be a blessing to you, but I don't have any kind of cars or visual illustrations. I wish I did. I really enjoyed that series from the book of Psalms. And I appreciate Pastor Treiber so much. I appreciate the opportunity to preach for just a few short moments. And Brother Martinez reminded me right before we got up that it was a few short moments it's supposed to be. And so we'll see about all of that. But it's going to be, I hope it's going to be a help to you in praying towards that end. And so Mark chapter number 8, and while studying this passage of scripture, there was a phrase that really caught my eye and caught my attention. And it's very incredible as you read God's word, even the longer that you read God's word, the more that things jump at you for the very first time. The more that you notice things for the very first time and get to kind of discover almost these different nuggets of gold and different things that God has placed in His Word for us to find and for us to learn and for us to glean and for it to help us. And this is one of those types of phrases. And by the way, you can never exhaust God's Word. It's never able to be completely, you can never exhaust it. It will always be a help to you. And God's word is just so incredible. The only book that does that, by the way, and no other book like it. And so this phrase from Mark chapter number 8 kind of stood out at me, and it comes from verse number 15. And it's a phrase that really doesn't make a whole lot of sense. As a matter of fact, I'm not very knowledgeable in kind of what would be these kind of terms. And it's kind of like it's actually more of like a baking term. And it's kind of something that has to deal a little bit with science, and I tried to do a little bit of research towards that and to try to figure out what does this word mean? What does this phrase mean? What could be the meaning behind placing this phrase in the scripture? And the Bible says in Mark chapter number 8, in verse number 15, and he charged them saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And leaven in the Bible, and we can go through and we'll study the passage of scripture very shortly, but leaven is a pretty incredible thing. In today's modern terms, it would be yeast or something that would multiply. And actually right now at this time in our church, it's a very serious moment in our church. There's a wave sweeping through our church where there is a new fad that is transpiring. There is something new that is going on. And I don't know if you're aware of this or not. I was only made aware because my wife has now become part of this transformation, if you would. And it's just amazing. And I'll say this right at the very beginning. I am all for it, okay? I am 100% for it. But it is this, and the only real reason that I know anything about this is because on my wife's last birthday, I spent a lot of money to have us hop in whatever this little, the new fad would be. It's not a fad. It's a transformation, a way of life. It's a total, complete transformation. And it is none other than we now mill our own flour. Every single time we want to bake something, every single time we want to make something, we mill our own flour. And this is completely new to me. By the way, in terms of bread, much like every other area of my life, I do not discriminate. I am for the white bread. I am for the brown bread. I am for the French bread. I am for the garlic bread, the naan bread. I am all about bread. I love bread. I love it so much. It is one of my very favorite things to consume and enjoy. As a matter of fact, oftentimes I would try as often as I could to drive about an hour away. There is a restaurant called Texas Roadhouse. And that is one of my very favorite restaurants. The entrees are okay. They're all right. I'm for it. I'm there for it. But man, I'll tell you about that Texas Roadhouse bread. And it comes out and it's in those baskets and they don't even ask you whether or not you want more. They just keep on bringing it out like they're fattening some pigs or something. I don't know what they're doing. And then they bring out that bread and they have that honey butter. And I'll tell you what, I enjoy that honey butter. And I love that bread so much. But one of the things about bread is that bread, I've been told my entire life, is unhealthy for me. I've been told it's bad for me. I've been told it's not good for me. But now that I mill my own flour, and by I mill my own flour, I mean my wife mills our own flour. When we mill our own flour, it magically becomes healthy for us. And I don't know about the science, I don't know, but let me tell you, if I can eat some guilt-free bread, I am on board, I will spend the money, I am there. And so if I can eat my bread, and by the way, she makes some incredible things. It's the banana bread, and she makes pizza dough bread now, and we make our own noodles, and we have a pasta maker. And if you're counting up, the money is going up and up on this new thing that we're doing at the house. But I love it. I am all for it. But you know, one of the active ingredients, and the active ingredient in that bread is yeast. And it comes and it multiplies and it divides itself. When you have to, it's almost like you have to wake it up from sleep, right? You put it in the warm water, but not too hot of water, or else you'll kill it. And then you put it in the warm water and you give it some sugar to kind of give it a little bit of, I don't know what it is. It's kind of like a little snack before it's able to do its own thing. I don't know all about that. But that is kind of what the word here, but it's the multiplication, the dividing, the consuming that would be leaven here in the Bible. And many times, especially in this context, leaven would have a negatory connotation. It would not be put in a positive light. But you have here, Jesus says to the disciples, he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. What's incredible about Mark chapter number 8 is it takes place immediately following another very famous passage of Scripture, a very famous miracle performed. Let's look, if you would, in verse number 10. Verse number 9, Mark 8, verse 9. And they that eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. We just concluded the feeding of the 4,000. An incredible, incredible miracle that was performed. Jesus took the 7 loaves and a few fishes and fed 4,000 people. And now we find ourselves in our passage of Scripture, beginning in verse number 10. The Bible says, and straightway he entered into a ship with his disciples and came into the parts of Dalmanutha. By the way, that's on the northwest shore of Galilee. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. How ironic that the Pharisees here, and it says right here, it says straightway, it's immediately following. Jesus just fed the 4,000. He just performed this great, incredible miracle, and straightway, immediately, the Pharisees come and they question him, what? Asking for a sign. And you think to yourself, they just fed the 4,000. This was just right after. There was already a sign. But you know what? The Pharisees had the wrong intentions, by the way. Look at the end of verse number 11. Why? How did they do it? They were tempting him. They had the wrong intentions. But you know what happens sometimes in our life, in the Christian life? We ask questions. We ask of God a sign. We ask of him a sign. Prove to me that you can provide. Prove to me that you are real. Prove to me that you are guiding me. And we ask for him a sign. But guess what? If we just were to open our eyes, God has already provided the sign. Amen. God has already provided the way. God has already provided a miracle in the past. If only we were to look back just a little bit. But I'll tell you this, the Pharisees missed it. The Pharisees missed the sign that Jesus performed by the feeding of the 4,000, and the Pharisees missed it. And sometimes in our own life, in the Christian life, we can, unfortunately, at times, miss the signs or the provision that God gives to us. We miss it. We just completely miss it. When I think about an illustration, I was trying to consider an illustration about missing it, and my mind immediately was drawn to men's summer softball. And I'll tell you what, if you come out to men's summer softball, you will be reminded time and time again of missing it. Either we're in the batter's box and we just miss it, or perhaps like it did to me last Thursday, I was trying to field an infield grounder right at shortstop, and I completely, right through my legs. The very first thing you teach people in the infield is not to let it go by you. I just let it go straight by me. I made a big mistake, and I missed it. Even growing up in Little League, I would play Little League baseball, and I was not very good, and I was not very good because I had the nickname the Strikeout King. I was called the Strikeout King, but not because I was the pitcher. I had so many strikeouts, I would miss the ball so many times batting, and that was not my strength. That was not my forte. I was not very good. And you know what? Sometimes in our own life, it's right there, but we miss it. It's right there, and even if you think about perhaps it's a little slow pitch softball, and it's coming at you, and it's right there, but we miss it. We miss it, and then we say, hey, where was it? Where was the sign? Where was the sign of your provision? Where was the sign of how great you are, of the miracles that you can perform? But guess what? We missed it. We missed it. The Pharisees here missed the feeding of the 4,000. Here's what happens after this and leads into verse number 15. Look, if you would, in verse number 12. After this, they're seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. In verse number 12, and he sighed deeply. I can only imagine. Jesus just performing all these miracles time and time and time and time again, day in and day out, performing miracles and being the person that people expect him to be, and yet they missed it, and he just sighs deeply. So disappointed. In his spirit, he saith, why doth the generation seek after a sign? Verse number 12, verily I will say unto you, there shall be no sign be given unto this generation. And he left them, and entering to a ship again, departed to the other side. This is immediately following, again, the feeding of the 4,000, now the Pharisees, and now he's with the disciples in the ship. And it says in verse number 14, now the disciples had forgotten to take bread. Neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. You know, they're just fed the feeding of the 4,000. By the way, there were 7 baskets left over from all the miracles that Jesus had performed. There were 7 baskets of the remnants left behind. And the disciples, during all that time, for some reason, had forgotten taken part of it. They had forgotten to take bread. So now they're hungry. And now they have this physical condition that they have, and they're focusing on their hunger. They're focusing on kind of what they need at that exact moment. And Jesus uses this time to prove to them, or to give to them a spiritual lesson using their physical condition. So right now, they're all in hunger right now. They forgot to take bread, and they're looking for something to eat. And Jesus uses this opportunity when they're lacking in something physically to teach them a lesson spiritually. And sometimes that happens in our own life, where in order to learn the spiritual lesson, in order to grow, in order to conform to the image of Christ, sometimes it helps if we're lacking things physically or the materials that we have in this world. But you know what? We never like going through those times of wants, or those times where we're looking for something else to help us. But it's in oftentimes those times the most where Jesus and God teaches us the lessons that we need to know.
Amen.
And here, Jesus uses their physical condition to teach them a spiritual lesson. And we find ourselves here in verse number 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. What's he talking about? Well, he's not talking about physical bread or physical leaven. He's talking about the doctrine, the heresy of the Pharisees. How they would come, and specifically, immediately following this, how that the Pharisees were seeking after a sign, missing what Jesus had already given to them. And for us, we should beware of the doctrine or the heresy or the missing out, just like the Pharisees did, missing out of the signs that God gives us. In verse number 16, and I can completely understand this, if you have been in a series of hunger or physical need and physical want, the disciples were completely focused. In verse number 16, it went right over their head. And they were only focused on their physical needs. In verse number 16, and they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have no bread. They say, he's giving us this lesson. He's trying to teach us something, but it's because we have no bread. It's because we have no physical bread. And here we have the rebuke in verse number 17. And when Jesus knew it, he saith unto them, why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Verse number 18, having eyes, see ye not. Having ears, hear ye not. And do you not remember? How often we easily forget the goodness of God in our life. How easily He gives us day by day our daily provisions, those things that we need, those things that we have to have, and God provides it. He provides a place to sleep. He provides food to eat. He provides clothes to wear. He provides a church for us to attend. And how often we forget the daily provision of our God, and instead, we ask of Him a sign. We say, God, where's your sign? How are you going to provide for me in this need? How are you going to provide for me in this area of life? And yet we miss the daily provision that God gives us every single day. Do you not remember? Cannot the disciples remember literally just a few hours before the feeding of the 4,000, this incredible miracle? Look, if you would, as he goes on in verse number 19. When I break the five loaves among the 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they say unto him, 12. Verse number 20, and when the seven among the 4,000, how many baskets of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. And verse number 21, and he said unto them, how is it that ye do not understand? How can you forget so quickly the goodness of our God? How can we forget? And you and I, as Christians, I am more guilty than this than anyone. And I forget that God has been good to me, and God has provided for me, and God has done everything for me. And how can I so easily forget the goodness of God and ask of Him a sign? Beware lest we ask of Him a sign and forget the goodness of God. Look, if you would, turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Very, very similar thought behind this passage of Scripture. Very, very well known. Matthew chapter number 6. And begin reading in verse number 25. The Bible says, and Jesus is saying here, that therefore I say unto you, He says, take no thought for your life, which shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, nor yet for your body, which ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? He says here, don't worry about your physical needs. Don't worry about those things that I'm going to provide for you. Is your body more than these physical? And this is exactly what Christ is trying to do in this passage. He's trying to teach the disciples a spiritual lesson, but instead they're focused on their physical condition. But instead of our physical condition, we should be trying to conform ourselves to the image of Christ and trying to be more like Him every single day. And instead we focus on what we think we need, when God says, I already have that taken care of. You don't have to worry about it. I will take care of your needs. Look, if you would, in verse number 26, the Bible says, and Jesus says, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor they gather into the barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He says, I can feed the birds. I can take care of you. Verse number 27, which one of you, by taking a thought, can add but one cubit to his stature? Verse number 28, and why take ye thought of raiment? Why do you think about this? He says, consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, how they toil not, neither do they spin. Verse number 29, and yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He says, Solomon, one of the wisest, one of the richest, one of the most well-known men, he said he did not even, the beauty that he could make, the beauty that he could provide, did not even compare to the lilies of the field. And how much more the lilies of the field that I take care of, and I make beautiful, and I make grow, how much more can I take care of you? Look, if you would, in verse number 30, he says, wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the seven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And that is where I find myself, and that is where we find ourselves oftentimes, where we say, how is he going to provide? How is he going to clothe me? How is he going to give me financial capabilities? How is he going to take care of this? And it's our fault, because we missed it. We missed it. We missed the daily provision of our God. Verse number 31 in Matthew chapter number 6, therefore, here it is, therefore, he says all those things. He says, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these the Gentiles seek. And that's exactly what's going on in the world right now. The world only cares about what they're going to wear. The world only cares about where they're going to eat. The world only cares about where they're going to stay, how big their house is, or how pretty their front yard is. But that's not the job of the Christian. And that's not the concern of the Christian. And that is not where we should place our time. And that is not where we should place our effort. He says that's what the Gentiles seek after. But he says here that for your heavenly Father, he knoweth that you have need of all these things. In verse number 33, this is what we should be doing. Verse number 33, this is our job. Verse number 33, this is our task. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. He says, if you focus on me, and if you focus on Christ, and if you focus on our heavenly home, all these things will be added unto you. I've taken care of all those things, and I can provide for you, and every single day I'll give you air to breathe, and every single day I'll give you legs to walk, and I'll give you a family to enjoy, I'll give you a church to go to, I'll give you food to eat, I'll give you a place to stay. And he says, I'll take care of all that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But unfortunately, sometimes we miss it. We miss it. We get the daily provision that God gives to us, and yet still we ask for more. Still we find ourselves that we want more. We want more on our life. For us, we ask and we say, we need these things. By the way, I am guilty of this more than anyone. But those things that we say we need, I don't know if we actually need them. By the way, we live in the greatest country in the world, by the way. We live in the most beautiful state in the world right now. I know most of it's on fire, but it's still pretty beautiful. And you know what? We have so much. It just so happens that this Sunday is Father's Day. And with Father's Day comes a load of what they call Father's Day sales. Now, I was duped into one of these Father's Day sales several years ago, and I began one of the most expensive hobbies I've ever been a part of, and it is owning power tools. And let me tell you this right now. So a couple Father's Days ago, I asked my wife, and I said, hey, there's this great deal. It says it's a $1,400 value, and they're selling it to me for $499. And I thought it was the greatest deal. And I had, at that time, I only had two drills. I had an impact drill, and I had a regular drill. And that was my power tool collection. By the way, it's not a collection, because collection makes it seem like it just sits on the shelf. And some people own power tools that just sit on the shelf, but not me. I use my power tools a lot. And, at least I try, who knows. But I bought this whole set. And this whole set, it came in this box. It came in this toolbox, which I thought, at the time, I thought it was like the greatest thing. Brother Reamers, you know what I'm talking about. We bought the same set on the same Father's Day. And we were both duped together. And it came in this box, you know, and it came with two drills. It came with a grinder. It came with a sander. It came with a miter saw. And it was just incredible. And it was just amazing. And now, several years later, I have spent thousands and thousands of dollars on power tools. And now I have the nice rollable miter saw stand, the table saw with the rolling stand, the sawzall, the circular saw, the jigsaw, the saw. I have it all, right? I have the grinder and the right angle grinder, and I have all these different tools. And you know what happens? I'm never satisfied. There's always a tool that I don't have. There's always something that, and even, not because I was going to preach this, but even this morning, I checked Home Depot's Father's Day sales to see what was going on in the DeWalt brand. By the way, I'm a DeWalt guy. That yellow and black, you can't beat it. And I'm right there because, anyway, but we'll, that's the vision right now. But here we go. But there's always things that we want. You know, I have all these tools, and it's right there in the shed in this garage. We put up this peg wall and all the different things that's on there, and it's just amazing. But you know what? Even still than that, there's so many more tools that I want to have. There's always more. And there was actually one time where I was trying to do some project. I forgot what it was for my wife, and I was having problems with it. And by the way, it's never as simple as just as you think it is, you know, when you get into it. And so I remember her, after about a day or two of me having problems with this project, she says, how do you still have problems? You have all these tools. And I said, yeah, babe, but there's so many tools I don't have, you know? And I was like, they make a tool just for this project that I'm probably never going to do again in my entire life, but I need it. And so you buy the, you know, and you always want more. You know, that happens in our own life, in the Christian life, where we have so much and God has provided so much for us, and we look at what God has given to us and we say, wow, this is so incredible. This is so amazing. And then sometimes we look at the next guy. or we look at the next family and we say, they have something that I don't have. Or God provided something for them that I think that I need. But sometimes we go through the Christian life and we have all these things that God has provided for us, and God has been so good to each and every one of us.
Amen.
And yet we still focus on the things that we don't have. We focus on the things that God has chosen not to give to us. That's what happens, and that's what happened in Mark chapter number 8, that the disciples were focused on the hunger, the bread that they didn't have. Yet God was trying to teach them, and God was trying to mold them and to form them, and he was trying to train them that this is what you need to be aware of. You need to be aware of the leaven of the Pharisees, the doctrine, the heresy of the Pharisees. At this time, as they missed the sign, you have to be aware. And yet they were just focused on their physical condition. They were focused on what they didn't have at that moment. If they had been focused on what God had done in the past and what God had provided for in the past, they were there at the feeding of the 4,000. They were there. You know what happens when we let God provide for us in his timing? You know what happens? In both the examples in Mark chapter number 8, both examples that he gave them, the feeding of the 5,000, the feeding of the 4,000, you know what happens? There's always too much. God provides too much. If you let God provide for your needs, he'll give you more than you need. He'll give you too much. He'll give you some leftovers. He says the feeding of the 5,000, there were 12 baskets left over. And the feeding of the 4,000, there were 7 baskets left over. And when you choose to let God provide for you, there's always going to be too much.
Amen.
There's going to be leftovers. But instead, you and I, we focus many times on, how can I meet this need? How can I solve this problem? How can I fix this area, instead of allowing God to provide for every need? Here's the challenge tonight. Let God provide for your need. He knows what your needs are. He knows how to provide for your needs. It's not like he doesn't have the ability. It's not like his bank account's withdrawn. Okay, he has the capabilities, he has the knowledge, and he has the care. He wants to meet your needs. He promises to provide for your needs. Let God provide for your needs. And here's what happens when you do that. You get the leftovers. You get too much. You get so much that God just fills your cup and it overflows. It's too much. So tonight, can we as Christians, can we let God provide for our needs? And then secondly, here's what we do. Don't miss the daily provisions that God gives to us. Every single day, being thankful for his provision and protection and greatness in each and every one of our lives. Don't forget, as the disciples did here, he says, do ye not remember? Don't you remember? Don't forget God's provision. Let God provide for your needs, and you'll always get more than you ask for. Let's pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Dear Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your provision. We're so thankful for your word. God, we're unworthy and undeserving of your love, of your care for us. Yet you, in your own word, you promised to provide for our needs. That you would not only never leave us nor forsake us, but that you provide for every need according to your riches. And God, I pray that we as a church family, and we as Christian individuals, would claim that promise tonight and in our life as we wait upon you.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.